Today's reading is from the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. It can be found on page 1153 in the Church Bibles. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonour others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And this is the word of the Lord.
Fantastic. Great. We're going to end with this passage this morning. But just as we begin with it, does anyone recognise that? Anyone heard that passage before? Anyone being at a wedding, had it at their wedding, been at a wedding that has heard that passage before? Loads of you. I thought it would be the case. It is one of those familiar passages. And it's a passage that hopefully over the next few weeks we're going to get a bit more familiar with. For those that are visiting us today, we've been on a journey through the book of Ephesians. We've been looking at Ephesians 1 to 3. And we finished that last week, bringing it all together, those first three chapters, thinking about what stops us stepping into who God has made us to be. And over these next few weeks, running up to Easter, we're going to look at this passage, 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to look at words in it. We're going to look at sentences in it. We're going to look at it as a whole passage, thinking about what God wants to say to us as we journey towards Easter. But they're not separate. They're not two different themes that we're looking at that are not linked. And that's what I want to look at today. So as we do that, I know we've prayed, but I just want us to pray again. And I just want us just to take a moment, perhaps just of stillness, to allow God's Spirit, His presence, remembering that His presence is the presence of God as well, who loves us and cares for us, who is a good, good Father. So let's just take a moment. Perhaps you might want to, just as you sat there, sitting there, Put out your hands like you receive a gift. We're just going to invite the Holy Spirit to come and to fill each one of us. That we might start in that place of knowing that we are loved by God. Whether we know it or not. Whether we've experienced it or not. Whether we've said yes to Jesus or not. We have a God who loves us. So Holy Spirit, come. Amen. If we could have the... Brilliant, there we go. 1 Corinthians 13, that's where we're going to start. Last week, we finished with this idea of shame. Just give me a wave if you're here last week or you've listened to the talk last week, just so I've got a feel for... Brilliant. Great. So we were looking at the idea of shame, it being a brick, a rock in a river that stops God's presence and his knowledge of who he is and what he's done and who we are as a consequence. And we were looking at the idea of shame and we looked at some definitions. And as I was thinking about that, I'm not massively into music. I don't really listen to much music at all other than worship. My kids constantly, can we have something else on, please? They're getting into all this stuff and now I have no idea what they're listening to. And they keep coming out with names. I'm like, I have no idea who that is at all because I'm not cool like that. But one thing that struck me the other week was the Brits Awards. And there was a performance at the Brits Awards. And I just want us to have a quick look at a short clip from that. So it should come up on the screen.
I'm sick of covering up. I'm tired of feeling so broken. I'm tired of falling in love. Sometimes I'm shy and I'm anxious. Sometimes I'm down on my knees. Sometimes I try to embrace all my insecurities. So I won't wear makeup on Thursday. 'Cause who I am is enough. And there are many things that I could change so slightly. But why would I succumb to something so unlike me? I was always told to just be myself, don't change for anyone. I wanna laugh, I wanna cry, don't want these tears inside my eyes, yeah. Don't wanna wake up and feel insecure. I wanna sing, I wanna dance, I wanna feel love inside my hands again. I just wanna feel beautiful. Oh, 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 oh.
Great, we'll stop it there. Fantastic, thank you. You can look at that online, it's on YouTube. So that is Jess Glynn, her song Thursday, and the performance, that the choreographed performance of it was all of the people on stage removing their makeup through that performance and saying we don't want to hide anymore. And last week, we started looking at this idea of shame. And the definition we talked about was that shame is the sense of covering up, trying to cover up the things that are going on inside. And the words there, I won't wear makeup on Thursday. I'm sick of covering up. I'm tired of feeling so broken. I'm tired of falling in love. And the chorus, I want to love. I want to cry. I don't want to cry. Don't want these tears inside my eyes. Don't want to wake up feeling insecure. I want to sing. I want to dance. I want to feel love. Is that not the cry of our hearts? A prophet speaking to the nations watching this, saying we're fed up of being a people who hide. We're fed up of being driven and called and told who we should be by everything else. The media, society, family, friends, all of these different things. We want to be. It says, I was always taught just to be myself. Worldly words. But God says, be who I made you to be. And that's what we want to think about as we continue this. And as I brought up and talked about the word shame last week, there was people in the room that came forward for prayer, but that sense of this is big. And this is going to take time. And that we want to acknowledge that. And we don't want us to rush through, think, right, I've heard a talk on shame. We're going to move on and we're on to something else. So it's going to be front and center. But we want to transition and think about how we engage in that and what this next season is all about. So shame, a sense of covering up. We talked about guilt being our behaviours, but shame being the sense of identity. Guilt says that we've made mistakes. Shame says that I am the mistake. That was the definition that we looked at last time. But that sense of shame is surrounded by a container of behavior. A container of behavior that holds it all in. A behaviors that can keep, try and keep things hidden. And my small community is in the middle of a course at the moment. And it was one of those moments where it feels like I kind of keep stealing things from it. Because it feels like God is speaking through to us through it, as well as to me in it. And so my small community keeps saying to us when we look at this, have you just nicked it all from this talk? I started to wonder that myself, actually. Am I just nicking it all? But then this week, I did actually my talk. I planned this before Wednesday and then sat through all the way through Wednesday and went, they've nicked my talk. It's disgraceful. But there's some helpful things in there that just reminded me. Some of the behaviours. So a behavior of people who operate out of shame will always prioritize rules over relationships. Always prioritize rules over relationships. Laws over love. They're more concerned about being right than about being real. They're more concerned about being right than they are being real. And for some of us, as we've spent time, and particularly from perhaps our church background and the way that we've grown up, that we're concerned about knowing the word of God, and we lose track of the God of the word. We're so concerned about the word of God that we lose track of the God of the word, if that makes sense. Those shift in priority that mask behavior and shame. And it all ends up pushing us in. So we're trying to keep control and trying to keep hidden these things that we don't want out. I don't know what your week, particularly those that were here last week, I don't know what your week has been like. I felt like my mind has been a battleground in this all week. Just suddenly starting to go, how dare you talk about this? Do you know about those things that you once did? Those things that you think about, those stuff that you were thinking about even this last week? It's felt like it's a battleground. Because if we get this, we're totally transformed people. And it changes everything. So it isn't easy. It isn't a quick fix. It's a journey that we're transitioning through. But our passage today, I think, also speaks into this. The first bits of 1 Corinthians 13, the first three. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body in the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Again, that idea of behavior.
if I act like it, look like it, sound like it. If I have those gifts and I try and use them, but without love, I'm a clashing cymbal, a gong making a noise. I've partly drawn those pictures and these images in a kind of egg shape because I was thinking about the Easter eggs that are covering the shelves at the moment. But those eggs that now used to be kind of full of chocolate inside them as well, now they kind of stick them in the plastic packaging on the outside. But if you imagine that egg and it's kind of empty, if you were to hit it, it would echo an emptiness. I think that is what Paul is getting at. If we're without love, if the container of what God has done is empty, then we just sound like a clanging cymbal. But the good news of Ephesians that we continue and carry on into is that we're not in that place anymore. That shame has been dealt with. The container of that shame has been dealt with because we are a new creation. Not just a kind of fixing up of the old, but we're a completely new creation, completely remade. And we can step into that when we say yes to Jesus. As we journey to this, we journey not just in 1 Corinthians 13, but we journey on the cross as well, to the cross. And that reminds us of where that new creation is possible. So we become a new container. We become a new creation. One of the translations of that is a new, it talks about the old and the new, and it's a new species, completely different to where we were before. But it needs to be full of love. But this is not our love. That as we think about this passage that it's talking about, it's not our strived energy to be all of these things in 1 Corinthians 13 that we'll come back and look at. It's not us trying to demonstrate these because that takes us back to behavior that is from a different place. Acting out, trying our best to be. Today, we're thinking about this passage as God's love. That he fills us, that we know and experience his love flowing out from us. So as we look at this passage over the next few weeks and look at different aspects and different verses and different sections in it, we're going to be looking at how we see God's love given to us. And as a consequence, it flows out. As a consequence of all that God has done, it flows out from us. Whereas perhaps before we talked about behavior, we can talk about fruit. The fruit of God's work in us bursts out. We can't help but be different. We can't help but live out this life in a completely different way. We don't have to try and talk to people about God. We don't have to try and do something different. We just are different because God has done something in us. It's his gift to us. And so not in that place of shame anymore, but recognize and standing on what God has done for us, we recognize that we're new creations. And we allow God, in his goodness that he has already done, that means that we know that we can do this. But we continue to be a people who learn and understand, not trying to hide and mask things that are going on. But we become a people in a community that are real with God and with each other, that we might be people who manifest his love. So 1 Corinthians 13 talks about what love looks like, how it's being expressed, how it is the character and nature of God. And now these things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And so I'm going to, as we finish, I just want to read through some of these aspects of love. And allow us, as we hear it again, because as we started, many of us have heard this passage, and many of us hear this passage in the context of weddings. We've been to a wedding, it was at our wedding. We hear it in that context, and we hear it about a relationship between two people, how that love should be expressed. And sometimes it gets expressed to being this, how the community that you are being, that you're going to, your marriage and your relationship going forward is going to be contained in. But it starts with God. It starts with his nature and his character. As we sit and reflect, as we live out these truths, we become transformed people. The things that we worried about before seem to just disappear. The things that we focused on, the things that worried us and stressed us out, get dealt with, and they become smaller and smaller because we see more and more of who God is. And that's my testimony, that's my experience. As I said, this week's been a battle, but so many of the battles, so many of the things that were thrown at me this week, I think, God, you dealt with them ages ago. You've been dealing with that ages ago. They're not a thing anymore. Just get lost. Stop thinking about him. I'm just going to go and spend some time worshiping. I'm just going to spend some time thinking about who God is. I'm just going to think about what God has done for me. It's really easy. It wasn't then, but it's become easier now. There's been much prayer of others, much prayer within community, within friendship groups. Much words spoken that just keeps reminding me of the truth of who God says I am. And walking that out. And am I fixed? Am I sorted? Am I perfect? No. Those that know me, we make mistakes. We get it wrong. But we're different now because of what God has done. So we're going to come back into a time of worship. Because it's fixing our eyes on God. It's fixing our eyes on who God is that brings transformation. So often we can think, well, we've got to get all of these other things fixed and sorted first. But we step out of them and then let God just speak into those situations. If there's a thing that hinders us, if there's an action or a heart thing that stops us stepping in, he will tell you what it is and he'll help you to work that through in community. People see those things that we regularly do that you think, you don't need to do that. And they'll hopefully speak that out, and we create an environment where people can speak that out. That we can walk out of this place of hiddenness and of covering up into a place of love. So let's just take a moment. Let's invite the Holy Spirit again to come and minister to us. For those that are visiting, those that are new to this, God's presence is always here. You don't have to have done anything. You don't have to have said anything. You don't have to be a member of this church for God to speak to you. For God to minister and to reveal more of his love for you. So, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we recognize the place that we were all in. We were people who were broken, people of insecurity, people who were anxious, people who were shy. People who wake up feeling insecure. But I thank you, Father, it's not who you made us to be. But that you made us to be a people who sing, a people who dance, a people who feel your love and delight in us. So Holy Spirit, come and speak your love to us today. From 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. God is not rude. He is not self-seeking. He's not easily angered. He keeps no records of wrong. He does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. God always protects. He is trustworthy and faithful. He always perseveres. God's love never fails. Holy Spirit, come. So I just want to give us space to respond. And I think today a response just looks like, God, I just want to know more. I want to know more of your love for me. And it might be that you just want to sit and stay in this place as we continue to worship. It might be that you want to stand and sing and say thank you to God for all that he's done. It may be that you want someone to pray with you. And we'll have people at the front who are really ready to pray for you and pray with you. Sometimes it's just good to have someone just to stand with you and pray with you. And it's good to have someone stand and pray with you and just lay hands on you and just speak the truth to you and allow God's ministry to come to you. He loves you. No ifs, no buts. He loves you and he's made you to be different. So we're going to continue in worship. And if you want to stand then to worship, then feel free to do that. If you just want to stay in that place, then feel free to do that too. And there will be people at the front from now onwards to pray. If you want someone just to pray with you, then do that as well.